I just want to invite you. We're going to pray a couple times here now as I get ready to share from the word here. But I want to invite you right now to just join me in the first prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and the opportunity to open up your word and to share from your word. And I pray, Lord, that I wouldn't say or teach anything that's apart from what your word really means, and that you would help us to truly apply it to our lives today. Help us to grow closer to you because of the things that we read and the way that your word challenges us. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So this is going to be our third installment from the book of Ephesians on authority. So we've gone through the whole book, but we've hit this part where we're especially talking about authority and authority in relationships. And this one, again, just like the other messages we had, is about respecting and exercising authority in a way that honors God, right? You think about that. We all have different authorities in our lives, and there are situations where we are the authority. And the point here is that in all those things, whether you're the one that's under someone's authority or you're the one that's in authority, that authority is recognized and exercised in a way that honors God. Amen? Now, you remember last week I was talking about, come on, church, come on, church, come on. You guys seem tired to me today. What's going on? Or are you just kind of more thoughtful? You're like, you're thoughtful, you're thinking, all right, you know. Okay, now, just want to let you know what this means. If I say amen to you, that means you got to think about, do you agree with what I'm saying to you? And then you're going to respond with amen by saying, yeah, truly, truly, let it be. That's it, right? Hey guys, Jesus loves you. Amen. Oh, I didn't have to wait for that one, right? Christ is coming back again, right?
Amen.
Amen, right? Hey, baptism is an amazing thing. Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. So, I won't have you guys stand up and do any calisthenics or anything like that. You guys seem like you're good to go. Now, in addition to authority, talking about authority, and the reason we're doing this is because we're just continuing to go through the book of Ephesians. There's no, like, hidden plan or anything like this. It's just we go through the book of the Bible, and we learn from the Bible, and, like, kind of way it falls some days. And sometimes I'll adjust it a little bit on certain situations, but usually hold to that. And today, this is just where we are, and I think it's a good one, and it fits together somehow, because today is not only on authority, today is really about baptism, as you think about it. We have four people being baptized today, and it's a really special day for those four people, and it's a special day for all of us to love and appreciate and to be behind those four people and to be part of their family, their church family, and to encourage them in the faith. So it's an amazing day for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, so you could say the subject for today, the two subjects are authority and baptism. Authority and baptism, right? Can you remember that? Authority and baptism. Now, I'm getting a little bit older. Some of you guys wished me a happy birthday, and you guys knew it was my birthday yesterday and made a big deal. I'm starting to get a little bit worried because it seems like every year you guys are making a bigger and bigger deal of it. And there were a couple things that happened to me this week that made me feel a little bit older. All right. The first one was that because it was my birthday and my license was expiring, I went into the Department of Licensing to get my enhanced driver's license. And after waiting for my appointment and getting through it, the dear lady at the desk asked me to do an eye test without my glasses on. I was like, I sure hope I can do this. Took my glasses off, got up on the thing, and was like, I could kind of see it, but I knew it's kind of blurry. Okay, let's just go with it. And I went with what I thought it was. And then the lady said, well, put your glasses on now and do it. And boom, did it perfectly. And she said, yep, I'm going to put a limitation on your license. You have to wear your glasses when you drive now. Now, I know some of you probably that might happen to you when you were young, but for me, this hasn't happened to me yet. This was the first time, so I'm like, I feel like I'm in the club now. And then the second thing that made me feel older was going on this guy's camping trip. and hiking up on the guy's camping trip with the backpack on. And I think sometimes my eyesight was getting to me there because I'd see like these rocks and slippery things. And I'm like, I got to be real careful not to fall here, you know. Getting down like that. So anyways, it's not all a bad thing getting older. Hopefully we're getting wiser as we get older. Amen. So back into this. A passage that I think ties together those two things, authority and baptism, is the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Talks about actually both those things. So I want to just share that. This is at the end, after Jesus died on the cross and rose again, appeared to his disciples, and before he ascends into heaven, he calls them together and he shares this. And this is our mission as believers in Christ. Everyone here who claims Christ as their Savior, believes in him, trusts in him, this is the mission that he gave to all of us. It was too big of a mission just for these 11 disciples to carry out, or even the group that was around them. This is a mission for all time. It said, and Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. And that's the mission that he gave us. But he basically brought his disciples together and he explained to them how all authority in heaven and on earth, everywhere, had been placed in him. He's the ultimate source of authority, and everything that we do has to fall under his authority. He's the boss of all things, all departments, everything. He's in charge. Amen? I mean, it says that someday every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's master, that he's ruler, that he's in charge, right? And that this is by him, and it's for him, and it's through him. And whether we get it today or not, that we someday will get it, and we will understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So he is the authority. He is the authority of all things. Everything that we do needs to fall under his authority. And he said, because he has all authority, he told his disciples what they need to do and what we need to do. He said, because of his authority, we need to go and make disciples. That's why we do it. We go and make disciples because of Christ's authority, and it's for Christ. And everything that he says along the way, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So not just right where you are, but throughout the whole world, every people group, every language, every culture, every tribe, every tongue, everything for the Lord, go and make disciples. The disciple is somebody who looks at Christ as their ultimate teacher, and they follow him, and they learn from him, and they live a life for him. And they try to emulate him, and they try to be the person that he wants them to be. Now, you can never do that on your own, but as you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and he works on changing you from the inside out. And that's what it means to be a disciple. You follow Jesus, you learn, you're a lifelong learner and student of his. And as you're making disciples, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize under Christ's authority. That's not something that we make up. That's not something that we've come up to. That's the mission. The mission is to go make disciples and then baptize them. Make disciples of all nations and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You hear those three things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that's one name. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One name we are baptizing people into. And then it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we want to make disciples. We want to win converts to Christ. We want people to hear the truth, to believe, to trust Christ as their Savior, to baptize them, but then not to leave them at that point, but to come alongside them and help them to learn to grow and be obedient to Christ and walk with Christ and honor Christ with their lives. Amen? Amen. Now, that's just not the mission of the pastor and the elders and the deacons. It's the whole church's mission. It's the mission for all believers. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a part of that mission, and he has gifted you uniquely to serve and to serve on that mission. Now, I just want to kind of tie this in with the idea that when we think about what we're doing, I've kind of spelled it out like this: evangelism, baptism, and discipleship would be like the training, come alongside, helping people to learn. We're doing it all under Christ's authority. Amen. And those things fit really well together with the message for today. So now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And this is on children and parents and bondservants and masters. That's what's covered here in the text today. I'll read through the whole text and then we'll go through and we'll talk about each verse. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with the good will as it is to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." And let's pray once more. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for exactly what it means and how it shines light into our lives. And I pray today that you would open up our hearts to learn from you, to learn from your Spirit, to draw close to you, and that you would teach us from this passage something that would actually change our lives today. Thank you. We love you and we praise you, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Paul's writings in Ephesians are about walking with the Lord, having a healthy walk with the Lord. Like, that's really what this has been about since, like, chapter 3 as we're looking at it, like truly walking with the Lord. And so Paul's teachings fit that idea we were talking about when he says, you know, hey, come along somebody and teach them to observe all that Christ has commanded. Like, that's what we're doing when we are helping people to grow, when we're discipling people, when we just are operating as a church. We're coming alongside one another and we're helping others to grow in the Lord, but to actually understand what Christ has commanded, what Christ has taught, and to teach people to learn and observe that. And so in some ways, this actually really fits totally well in what we're doing, because what greater place is there besides in relationships that we need to learn to really walk with Christ? Right, so we talked for 2 weeks about marriage, and I hope that you were really blessed by those 2 weeks about marriage. I feel like I was so blessed by focusing really hard on that for about a month and really thinking about what it means to, like, really love my wife, and to just the idea of mutual submission and her submission and all those kind of things that we find challenges with, but to think about those things hard and to try to really live those out for, like, the last month or so has been, like, a real blessing in my life. And I hope that they've been a blessing in your life. So you think about this, these things that Christ has commanded. I think, like, sometimes we look at the Bible and we think, oh, the stuff in red letters, that somehow counts more than the stuff in black letters. But that's really not how it is, because the whole Scripture is God's Word. The whole Scripture, all of it is Christ's teaching. And all these things are just as important. And so when we think about learning the things that Christ has commanded and he's taught, it's what we have in Scripture. And learning to apply these things and learning how to apply them in our relationship. And sometimes our closest relationships are the ones where we fall down the most in these areas. And we need to be taught the most, and we need to make changes in these areas. So really, when you think about walking with the Lord, if you're new in the faith, if you're old in the faith, or whatever, whoever you are, whatever point you are in your relationship with Christ, this is true for all of us. We need an appropriate understanding of authority. Like, we are Americans, right? Like, a lot of times we don't like authority. We don't want to follow authority. We're free. We want to do what we want. We don't want anybody in charge of us, but we need an appropriate view of authority. That's really what's happening here. That's why he's writing this. Like, he told them all about salvation. He told them about walking with the Lord. But as part of that, you got to have an appropriate view of authority. So discipleship's going to include that. And this passage is really good for that. So this starts off by saying, Paul writes, again, this is chapter 6, verse 1 of Ephesians, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." So this verse, maybe it's a favorite verse of some parents out there, you know, right? I didn't plan this, but my son is sitting right here in the front row, and I really love that it worked out that way. Praise the Lord. Now, I think we really need to soak this in too, you know, and really think about it, right? So he's moved from marriage to the relationship between parents and children. Now, parents, whether you guys, you kids, or any of us like it or not, just the way it is, parents are in a position of authority over their children. Amen? And that needs to be exercised well. And it needs to be something that it's actually something that's needed. So if you have children and they have no authority in their lives and they just do whatever they want, then they turn out with all kinds of problems, right? And we actually have a society that faces a lot of that. We have a lot of just kids that can run wild and do whatever they want. There is not an appropriate authority figure in their lives. Like, we talked about this a little bit in our WANA training, like just how important a loving adult is in the life of children, right? We want to do that as we serve in our WANA program. We want to have loving adults being there and serving with the children. But think about how important it is to have that role of a loving parent in your life. And if you don't have it, if you're missing it, and some of us have missed that in various ways, and you're not any less because you have, and we're not here to talk down about anybody in any situation, but like, that's God's design, and that's what we need, and that's what we long for, right? To have a loving parent, to have loving parents in our life that we can turn to and that can nurture us and help us, but that also discipline us and teach us. We need that. We all need that. And then as we look at this, parents being in that position of authority, what it actually says here is that children, whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, it says that children should obey their parents, right? Children should obey their parents. And it says this, in the Lord, in the Lord. That idea of obeying your parents in the Lord, that recognizes the whole authority structure of everything, right? So if you obey your parents, you're actually obeying the Lord. If you disrespect your parents and disobey your parents, you're disobeying the Lord. Now, how many here have never disobeyed their parents? I should line you up right now and flog you guys. So we've all been disobedient. We've all been rebellious. We've all acted out against our parents and against the Lord. Now, some of us are thinking, man, it's been such a long time. Been such a long time since I had those parent figures in my life. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But when you think about it, it says you want to obey in the Lord. Now, if your parent is asking you to do something that violates Christ's command and violates the Lord, that's a whole nother matter, because you're to obey them in the Lord and not outside the Lord. Right? So that is true, and that happens sometimes. And so we have to keep that in mind too. But in kind of the normal sense, in the normal sense of things, oftentimes we rebel against our parents, we rebel against the Lord, and we need to do that. And the reason why he gives for doing that, why you need to do that, is he says, because it's right. That's what's right. That's what the right thing to do is. It's actually wrong to go against your parents and to rebel against your parents. And I think as you look at this, we really definitely need this in all these cases to recognize that authority is God-given. It's from the Lord. That idea of being in the Lord, it's obeying him. It's from him. And in general, like he says, this is a general truth, that obeying your parents goes well with you. Goes well with you. And disobeying your parents, it's the opposite. And he describes it as this, like, in general, that leads to a longer life. And a person that just doesn't have any regard for what their parent says and disrespects what their parent says, in general, that's going to lead to a shorter life. Amen? That's what the scripture tells us. Now, no matter your age, you and I and all of us, no matter how old we are commanded to honor our parents. Amen? We're all commanded to honor our parents. So it's like even when you become an adult, you move out of the house, you don't live with your parents, you still honor your parents. I think this, like some of us, one or more of our parents have passed and they no longer live in this life. We're still to honor our parents. We are still absolutely to honor our parents. Now, how do you honor your parents at your particular stage of life where you are? And if your father and mother have passed, do you honor their memory? Do you honor their memory? You know, how do you talk about them? What do you say? What do you bring up? What do you focus on? What do you dwell on? Now, I think we all know that all of our parents, they're like us. They're not perfect people, right? And we can focus on all the negative things, but what do we do to actually honor our parents? I think that we're commanded to do that by the Lord here and by the Word. So how do you talk about them? That's true if they're alive. Like, how do you talk about your mom and dad? It says a lot about you as a person. Like the respect that you show your parents, like people notice that. If you disrespect your parents, they see that. People can see sin, right? And so when we dishonor and we disrespect our parents, and if we talk bad about our parents, then people will see that and they'll understand that, and God will see that, and God knows. And it's not good. It's not a good thing. So we really need to watch how we talk about our parents. Now, here's some other things though about it. We think about honoring your parents. Do you love them? Do you love your parents? I hope that you do, but that's what I think these verses are calling us, to love our parents. Do you spend time with your parents? I mean, is life so important, everything that you have going on so important that you don't love and care for your parents? Again, I said I think about them in my position, my point of life, like where I am. It's not just a matter of me like when I was a kid, but it's like where I am right now. Do I honor my mother? Some of you brought me tissue up here. And then another person tried to hand it to me back in the back, all right? Sometimes it happens, you know, the eyes open up or whatever. But you think about it. When you read the Bible, it's not your job to just get it over with. You got to soak in it and think about it. And think about, like, just a simple thing like this. A verse that says, honor your father and mother. Are you doing it? Are you really honoring your father and mother? And if you're so blessed to still have your father and mother in your life, what are you doing to honor them? Now, do you respect what they say? And you might have a parent that's not a godly parent and might not actually be sharing a lot of wisdom of the Lord. And sometimes you might have to even go out of your way to like work on this. But do you actually value what they say? Do you value hearing from them? Do you value their input? And are you truly, how about this? Are you truly thankful for what they've done for you? Because I think even like sometimes the roughest of parents, they've done some things for us along the way. Amen. Now, when I was younger, I'd always have a problem with my dad. I think sometimes it's just like very natural for a boy to have a problem with his dad and maybe not to like the authority that's there. And when I look back at my dad, it's like he did so many good things in my life. I would say one thing that I did know was I knew every year what my Christmas present, or not my Christmas, my birthday present would be. Every year I know what that would be. And that would be a pair of cleats to play football. Every year. And those small things. I know. My parents knew that I liked computers. They're like, we're going to get this kid a computer. So they sacrificed to get me a computer, first computer. And it's a terrible thing to cry about now because it's like computers, hey, it's, half of it is wrecking the world right now, technology. But, you know, that's ended up being what I made a living with and what I did because my parents nurtured me in that and provided what I needed in that way. So, you know, you look back and you think about all the things that your parents have done so many times. Your parents have done things for you. You just take for granted. You don't even remember. Right? But we're to honor our parents. Do you get the point in this? Okay. I hope that you're challenged by this and blessed. Allow yourself to be. Okay. Now, it's the old age thing, guys. I get more emotional when I'm tired. So that hiking trip was great. But what happened was I was sleeping in a hammock, and that was bad already, and it was really cold. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I start hearing this. And it's like, oh, no, it's raining. So I wrapped the hammock around myself, hoping that would help. No, that doesn't help. I get up. But basically from about, 3 in the morning, the rest of the morning, it just rained the whole time. It was great. It was character building. It was fantastic. But it made me really tired. Getting too old to miss like a 3/4 of a night of sleep. All right, so let's go on to fathers. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, this is kind of interesting. I find it interesting that it's just fathers that are mentioned here. And maybe that's because it's like going to mention a particular thing that most fathers struggle with. Like this could be something that we as fathers tend to struggle with, and maybe mothers don't as much. But also, I think mothers can read this and learn from this also. Okay, I need a break for just a second. Hold on. I apologize. I'm not the most polished guy here, right? But that was driving me nuts. All right. So, again, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, we who are fathers, we need to be especially careful of how we exercise our authority. I mean, he's already kind of given this idea that the husband is the head of the household, and he's in the leadership position, okay? And as a leader, like there are things that he needs to do. And like part of that was like learn what it really means to love your wife. Learn what that really looks like and actually really truly love her. But think about your relationship with your children as a father. And he warns against this because this is probably something that fathers tend to do. And I think maybe also, at least this is true for me, maybe true for you, I don't know. But sometimes as guys, we struggle more in relationships than the ladies do. Like we don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't think about it. And we need a little bit of help. Okay, but we are especially warned here against provoking our children to anger. So frustrating our children, bringing them to the point that they get angry. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that as fathers? Well, I just wrote down some ideas. This isn't going to be the complete list, and I bet some of you, if you thought about it, you might be able to definitely add some things to the list, but these are some things I came up with. But we provoke them to anger by talking down to them, by mocking, teasing, and shaming them, maybe thinking that that's how we motivate them, by being overly demanding. We can do this by being harsh. We can be too harsh with them. We also can do this by not living up to our own word, maybe by not practicing what we preach, by being an example of like just what the opposite of what we should be doing. We can provoke our children to anger by being prideful, by like thinking we're always right, by never listening, by being argumentative, by shutting them down, by being willing to learn and listen from them. We can do that, right? We can provoke them to anger. Now, it's an interesting balance because also we have that position of like we need to exercise authority in a way that's healthy and good, but we really need to watch for these things as we're raising up children. So a father's goal is to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen? That's the goal. Now, it's just not just a father, right? It's a father and a mother. It's a team effort. That's what it looks like. But that's the goal, is to help bring your children up in that. So I think sometimes the problem is we're actually aiming for the wrong thing. And I think a lot of us have done this. Like sometimes we're aiming for like, okay, I'd like my kid to be the superstar athlete. I'd like my kid to be like successful in this academic area, or to be a wonderful musician, and to be those things. And the way that we use our time and the way that we teach them and what we put them in and how we instruct them, that seems to actually be the highest priority in our life. You know, actually, I love doing Awana. I've been doing Awana now for a number of years. It's probably one of my favorite nights of the week, you know, because I like playing with kids and doing that and teaching them about the Lord. But back when I was younger, actually, my kids, a lot of times, I actually had them in sports like all the time. They were doing sports, and it was a much higher priority than teaching them about the Lord, really, when I look back at it. And I could have actually reversed that. If I were raising my kids now, I would do that. I would reverse that. Because none of my kids have actually gone on to be superstar athletes. Right? There were a couple of them that were decent at things, but the most important thing is bringing them up in that instruction of the Lord. It's more important than the other things. And so look at your life. Think about it. If you still have kids at home, or if you're going to have kids at home, you think about it. Think about, like, your priorities. Do you prioritize teaching them about the Lord, or do you prioritize involvement in other activities and other things? Now, the discipline in instruction, those come from Greek words, but some of the, like, other translations that you could get out of that or meanings for that would be like tutorage, education, disciplinary correction, and then for instruction it'd be calling attention to, like, look at this fine detail, giving a mild rebuke, or trying to shape the mind and will of your child towards Christ. That's the goal, and that's what you should be focusing on. And we know that discipline itself, like, it's not like always like a pleasant thing, but it's a good thing. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says this about discipline. It says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained for it." And so this idea of discipline, like, we get, ultimately, we're disciplined by the Lord. We're adopted as his children, and he disciplines us in that way. But he also puts fathers in our lives during those times, and they do the same thing, and it resembles what God does in our lives. And if things work out the way that they should, then actually we respect our parents for disciplining us. Amen? I do that. I look up, I'm like, man, I'm actually thankful my dad was, like, strict in certain areas of my life. And my mom was too, except for my mom, a lot of times she'd say, "Wait till your dad comes home." Except for that, I was telling the guys at the retreat or at the camping, I don't know even how this came up. We were eating lunch and I said, but there was that one time when my mom got really mad and she didn't even say, "Wait till your dad gets home." So we have discipline. It's a good thing. We need to do it, but we need to do it well. And a lot of times our problem is we fall down and we don't do it well. And so this is where you got to actually really soak in it. You got to look at your life and say, like, am I really exercising authority well? Am I being the kind of dad I'm supposed to be? Am I being the kind of mom I'm supposed to be? Am I really following Christ? Am I just doing things out of emotion? Am I so frustrated? Am I too harsh with the kids? You know, what is it? Am I really focused on the goal of teaching them about the Lord? Now, you can't make a believer out of your child. You can't do that. But it is your mission, though, to try to shape them in that way. Right? That's what we're all to do that. And that's a good mission, and that's a biblical mission. And if someone says that it's not, then they're not really reading the Bible, because that's what the Bible says and what the Bible tells us, you know, that we're to train and instruct our children and try to point them in that direction. Now, Paul goes on, he talks about bond servants and masters. Now, in both these examples, this is where you could kind of generalize this, it's that idea of, in one case, you have somebody under authority, And the other case, you have somebody that's exercising the authority. And how do they do that? And how do they do that well? So it's the same. And so many of the takeaways we can have can be the same. But he says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Okay, so basically as you look at this, let me go on and read one more verse. It says, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality. All right, so going back to this idea of bond servant, what's a bond servant? Well, bond servant basically is a slave. It could be an involuntary slave, or it could be a slave out of necessity, or it could even be a slave, maybe not in this context, but other contexts where it's used. It's a figurative slave, somebody who is figuratively a slave. Now, the ESV uses bondservant instead of slave. It's kind of a softening on it, because the reason why is because it's a historical context. Because when we hear slave in our context, we think back to the slavery in the United States. We think that way. We have a picture of it being like that. But slavery in the Roman Empire actually was different than that. It wasn't exactly like that. It was different. In fact, it was very prominent in the Roman Empire. You may have had as many as a third of the population were slaves. Back in that time in the Roman Empire, if you took out a loan, if you took out a debt, if you borrowed for something, yourself was the collateral for the loan. And if you didn't pay it back, you became a slave of the person who lended the money to you. And it's more like being a servant. And in that case, when you were that as a servant, then you basically were working off your debt. And many people went to the point of becoming, reaching a point where they were no longer slaves in what they did. And so it was a big part of the church. So many times, like, the church could be consisting of half people who were slaves and half people who were not slaves. Now, in this context of slavery in the Roman Empire, and in every context, authority existed, and authority could be used or it could be misused. It could be abused. There were times when authority was abused. And that's really what he's writing about here. So when given authority, and we all are in this position sometime, when you're in the position of authority, the question is, for you and for me and all of us, when in that position, will you exercise authority faithfully? Will you exercise your authority faithfully? You must recognize that you are equally under God's authority as a servant and as a slave, or as somebody who has the authority. So as he writes, he says, stop trying to lead through harshness. Stop trying to be threatening. Now, I think about that, like, you could see that in this context, right? But I think it exists back in the other context. I think one of the important things sometimes that we need to learn as parents is not to just be threatening parents, right? It's so easy to just get in that way, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lead this family. I'm going to threaten them to get them to do what I want them to do. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to lead and what he wants us to do. And that doesn't actually work very well. In fact, usually it leads to you just repeating yourself a whole bunch. But he says, watch how you're threatening. Watch how you're harsh. Don't do that. Know that as a person that's in the position of authority, that you are also accountable to God. He doesn't favor you because you are in the position of authority. Exercise authority faithfully, and that honors God. Now, when we think about this, we don't have this in our society today. We don't have this idea of, like, oh, you're going to go into debt. We have bankruptcy. So you have bankruptcy, you don't become a slave, you just kind of write it off and roll with it, and there's a legal system that takes care of it and helps through it. We have that. Okay, but the thing we have where this is probably most applicable is each and every one of us here, like, in some ways, we've had to, like, work for a living. We've had bosses in our lives. We've had to be accountable to people. We've had to do what people tell us to do, and we're in those positions where we're serving, we're told what to do. Okay, and so this, I think the closest application to us for this is in the workplace. Like, how do we either exercise authority in the workplace, or how do we respect authority in the workplace? So if you think about it, like, as a person in the workforce, as we look at that and we think about that, that we actually are to respect those people who are bosses over us, right? We shouldn't just go around talking bad about them all the time. We shouldn't, like, do it to pay them eye service, like, when they're there. Like, we're working really hard when the boss is around, but when the boss is not there, we're slacking off. As Christians, we shouldn't do that, amen? We should have actually a work ethic that's good, because he says you're not just doing it for them. You are a bond servant to the Lord. So he's the boss. So the way that you follow your boss in your job, the way that you respect authority in your job, actually should be tied back to you respecting and showing respect to the Lord, respecting his authority. I think the idea of work ethic and not being lazy, because it's easy sometimes to be lazy when the boss isn't watching. But Christ is always watching. And, like, this is the thing that actually can sometimes get people in trouble. And I think this could save you. Some of you right here, especially you younger people, this could actually save your job someday. If you actually really would think about this and take this to heart, you're going to be tempted in your job, in your work, to be lazy. You're going to be tempted to slack off. You're going to be tempted to take shortcuts. You're going to be tempted to not follow through the procedure that they tell you to do. You're going to be tempted to do that. And if you give in to that temptation, some of you, someday, some point down the road, you're going to be fired because of it. And you're gonna have this. And if you would just listen today and say, like, no, I need to do this. I need to work with the higher standards, and I need to not give in to laziness, and I need to not take shortcuts, because I honor Christ. And I'm doing it for Christ. It could save somebody's job someday down the road if you'll take it to heart. That's why this is really good stuff as you think about it. And again, if you are the boss and you're in the position of being the boss, then being a good boss and doing it well, you can exercise that authority in a way that you realize that you too are under Christ's authority. And the way you treat people, like, I don't know, how many of you have had a boss that you just actually loved working for a person, and they've actually really been such a good boss, and they've probably brought out better work in you? You as a leader could be that kind of person too, if you take these things to heart and you honor the Lord and you serve, like, in that kind of way. All right, I want to wrap this all up just giving a little review. I had some fill in the blanks in the bulletin, and I don't know if I've said all those things or not. I meant to, but it's bright out here and I can hardly see this, and I'm getting old, and we already know that the vision is bad and all those things. And by the way, what do us old guys got to do? Stick together, right? Us old guys got to stick together. And if you've been here long enough, you know the background of that. There's a really good story behind it. Ask somebody. But us old guys, we got to stick together. But here's just to wrap up. I'll give you the points on the fill in the blank, kind of as my summary of this whole thing. So number one, a follower of Jesus Christ needs an appropriate understanding of authority. Right? Is that true? Yeah. Amen. We don't need a warped understanding of authority. We need an appropriate understanding of authority. Number two, let's see if you guys can get, if you guys have these, all right? I want to see if you guys have them. You can fill them in. No matter your blank, your age, no matter your age, you are commanded to
honor
your parents. Amen. You got it. Number three, we need to recognize that authority is God-given. Praise the Lord. You guys are on fire today. In general, blank authority, blank. Okay, you could probably come up with something that would work, but what I have is, in general, respecting authority goes well. Goes well with you. I mean, it's going to, like, you think about, sometimes people say, like, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Well, respecting authority, actually, in general, it actually helps you. It's much better for you. Okay, number five. Do we have it? Authority can be misused and abused. Authority can be misused and abused. Watch that. Watch out for that in your life. And then finally, number six, exercising authority faithfully honors God as master, right? Honors God as our Lord and our master and our ruler. It honors God in that way. All right, I hope this is helpful for you. I believe that it can be. I believe that it can actually be really, really good thing in your work relationships, in your family relationships. And it might, you might have a little to do, like a little something that you need to go do. Maybe like your to do might be like this, like, okay, how can I honor my father or my mother? What can I do to honor my father or my mother? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we have here from it. And I ask today, Lord, that when we read your word, that we wouldn't just hear it and forget about it, but you would really challenge us and really show us how, as your followers, we can live these things out in our lives. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.